T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
So this homestand, the make-or-break homestand, it was two sub-500 opponents coming in, each carrying a 6-game losing streak. What could possibly go wrong? Last year, that would have been a 7-0 homestand, and someone would have had a 3-home-run game. But here in the afterworld of 2019, this homestand was 3-3 with one TBA, the suspended game to be made up in a couple of weeks. Here we are in suspended animation, asking the way Seth Meyers and Amy Poehler used to on Weekend Update, really? Really? You had the Royals and Angels in town for a week and you failed to produce a winning record? Really? We'll tell you about it here. This is Sox Daily.
It's your daily Sox podcast. It's your daily Sox podcast. It's where you're going to find out what the Sox are doing. It's your daily Sox podcast. It's your daily Sox podcast.
Before we even get into Anthony Bemboom, a name that sounds like I made it up right on the spot, allow me to share with you a little Red Sox serendipity. So I'm in the car with the missus Sunday afternoon, listening to the game come to its sad, inevitable end as a 5-4 extra inning loss to an injured and lousy Angels team. In frustration, I flip over to what I thought was going to be 90s on 9 on Sirius XM, but in my frustration, I spun the dial a little too hard. I landed on 70s on 7, and the song that was playing was from the Climax Blues Band, Couldn't Get It Right. Of all things, a funk song, which is perfect for a team that's been in one all year. And yeah, Couldn't Get It Right is the perfect song, as opposed to Dirty Water right now. Restless feeling really got a hold. I started searching for a better way, but I kept on looking for a sign in the middle of the night, but I couldn't see the light. No, I couldn't see the light. The light is certainly not in the form of Andrew Cashner, who may be the worst acquisition since Hewlett-Packard bought Palm Pilot and BlackBerry at the start of this decade. The light certainly is not coming from the top of the order of late. The first real slumps in a while for Devers and Bogarts at just the wrong time. And at the end of what's now a very dark and funky tunnel, it is a 7-game deficit just to grab a spot as the road team in the 1-game wild card playoff. That's the fact, Jack. This is Josh Lewin. Don't mean to start with such a bummer. Let's start on a high note, actually. Let's wind it back to Friday, which was a 12-run win, which would be followed by allowing 12 runs and a loss the very next day. But the Friday dose of good news overflowed. J.D. Martinez was 4-for-5, 2 home runs, 2 doubles, and 4 runs batted in. And that outburst, really the best night of the season for J.D., in a season where he has been one of the best hitters very consistently. 310 batting average through 119 games at that point. 27 home runs, 71 runs batted in. Better OPS than both Bogarts and Devers. And we sing their praises all the time. 5 home runs hit overall Friday night by Boston. The 2 from JD. 1 each from Mookie, Devers, and Moreland. Remember him? And the bullpen was very good in support of Brian Johnson, who was pressed into starting duty for the injured David Price. Lasted just 2 2/3 innings. Saturday, by the way, Porcello went 5 innings. Sunday, Cashner went 1 2/3. So, yeah, you got 9 innings from your starter this weekend. It just took 3 different actual starters in 3 different games to do it. Seriously, if you add up all their innings, that was 9 innings. 3 innings per start for a weekend is a recipe for pulverizing your bullpen into a fine soot. So, there was good news at Fenway Friday, though. 16-4, the final. The Sox scoring multiple runs in 5 straight innings at one point. Saturday, well, I guess breaking 8-game losing streaks was kind of a Fenway special this week. The Sox had done that on their own behalf back on Monday. But then the Angels broke an 8-game streak of their own on Saturday. And I know not every game can be a work of art, but this thing you wouldn't hang in a hallway of a kindergarten. Porcello started and he got torched early. 3-run home run by Justin Upton. But Porcello settled in. He actually retired 14 straight. Sox got it back to within 3-1 until the 6th inning began, and then Porcello wobbled. The second of back-to-back high changeups was spanked in a right by Cole Calhoun, who would go on to have a huge day on Sunday. And then with leadoff man on for Trout, still no home runs ever at Fenway for Trout, and you knew it was coming at some point, but a meatball from Porcello really made it happen. Number 39 for the season for Trout to lead the AL, 91 runs batted in to lead the league at that point. Cannon shot up on top of the monster, and there you go. 20 games he had played at Fenway, never a home run until a two-seam nothing ball from Porcello. It had been at least four home runs at every other AL ballpark for Trout. But there you go, number one at Fenway, and he hit it a very long way. So think about Porcello's day. It was a line of five runs in five innings, which I know looks horrible. And somewhere in there, there was a run of 14 straight retired. Or in other words, it was poop, then a row of beautiful fresh-cut floral flowers as far as the eye can see, and then more poop. And it's just a ridiculous year for a one-time Cy Young Award winner. He's got 10 wins. That's twice this year. He's had a run of 14 straight retired. However, his ERA is now worst in the American League among qualifying pitchers at 5.67. Porcello speaking to the media a bit after the game.
Getting ahead of guys. First at bat to Calhoun, I just fell behind, left the fastball over the plate, punched it for a single. And then the Ohtani at bat, actually, I was in a pretty good situation there. I just curveballs a little up, slicing the gap, and then pitched to Upton's fastball up and away off the plate and pokes it out. Good swing. Other than that, though, pitches were working. The action was fine. Sixth inning, throw three pitches, give up two runs, and it's tough. I got to be better. The Trout at bat, obviously, it was one pitch, and the guy's got 38 home runs for a reason. Jumped me on a first pitch fastball. It was right down the middle, and that was the end of the day. In between there, we were getting quick outs. We were mixing pitches, rolling along just fine, and it happened quick there in the sixth. That's it.
When it's 3-1, you must be thinking your offense is going to do enough to get you quite where you need to be.
Yeah, absolutely. Hell yeah. I mean, even at 5-1, we got a ton of confidence in our offense to come back. It's not a situation that you want to put our team in, obviously, but, the point is, I have the utmost confidence in our offense to come back from just about any deficit. As far as it goes for me, yeah, we're in a controllable ball game at 3-1 going into the sixth inning, and I had back-to-back, slip-ups, and that ended up costing us and really spread the game out and put us in a tough spot.
In this recent stretch of giving up home runs in, I think it's eight straight games now, what trends or similarities do you see, if any?
Pitches that are not well executed, that's the biggest thing. Just giving guys the opportunity to get the barrel of the ball. Everybody's hitting homers now, and you got to be precise and efficient with everything that you throw because it's damage when you're in the middle part of the plate.
Rick, when you look back to the second Trout at bat versus the third, and the pitch you executed on the second at bat, is that what you're trying to do there also?
Yeah, 100%. Whether he swings at it or not, I'm trying to drive that fastball in off the plate, create some space, make him aware of pitches in, and then, maybe get to some other stuff. And, it was honestly the worst part about it is it was the best hitter, and that was the worst pitch I threw the entire day. And that's what happens.
So here is Porcello squarely at a crossroads at 5.67 ERA. If you look it up here, if you go with 24 starts or more made in a season by Red Sox pitchers, there are only two worse ERAs ever. Ramon Martinez in 2000 was at 6.13, and he was at the end of the line. I mean, he came back, made five starts in 2001, got worse, and went home for good. But then you got John Lackey, who was the worst. He had a 6.41 ERA in 2011, the beer and chicken year. And 2 years later, he was a World Series hero. His ERA was 3.8. And in fact, the year before that, it was 3.52. So what do we got here? We got a Porcello bounce back, and will it be for the Red Sox if he does? I mean, he'll likely be pitching elsewhere next season. He's in the last year of a contract that's paid him $21 million a season. Right now, he's allowed five earned runs or more in six of his last nine starts, 8.29 ERA during that stretch. Not getting ground balls anymore. I know that's by design. Back in his sinker ball days, This is a guy that would get you 30 grounding into double plays a year. That number this year is 4. He is also 4 innings right now away from 2,000 for his career, and that is laudable. It's not Cy Young, who was 7,356 innings. That will never be broken unless robots play someday, which actually I think might happen, but I don't want to go off on that tangent. 749 complete games is probably a safe number, too, since CC Sabathia is the leader right now among active players at 38 and has none in the last 5 years. But anyway, for Porcello, the 5 runs in 5 innings, disappointing. After that, it got unspeakably worse, and that was the most disappointing element of the Saturday game. 7th inning was one of the uglier innings of the season. I mean, we're talking a Gary Busey mugshot ugly here. Darwin's and Hernandez, who's been very good, gave up a hit to open it up. He then hit the light-hitting catcher, Kevin Smith. So it was 2 out, nobody on. Bunt situation, Sandy Leon a passed ball. You don't see that ever from Sandy, but now you don't need the bunt anymore. And from there, it just got completely, completely ridiculous. 7 runs coming in the inning. There was a Sam Travis misplay in left field. I mean, just a total meltdown. And Hernandez ends up giving up 4 runs in 1 inning. Velazquez, who then got sent back down after the game, gave up 3 runs in an inning. His ERA is now 5.81. Trout, Otani, and Upton had 9 runs batted in between them in that game. You go from a 16-4 win to a 12-4 loss. So the pendulum swinging wildly all season for this Red Sox team. 30-31 at home at that point, if you include the 2 games in London, and that's just not going to play. I mean, the Yankees at home, 43-18. Houston, 43-15. Just to kind of put that in perspective. So, on to Sunday, Andrew Cashner came in with a 7.53 ERA in his 5 starts for the Red Sox. He had allowed 7 home runs, 5 of them at Fenway. Location, Alex Cora said, had been his main issue. Yeah, the problem is location is now Boston, Massachusetts, and now it's not Baltimore, Maryland. In Baltimore, he was 9-3. In Boston, he's been the 2019 right-handed bearded Eric Bedard. Cashner on Sunday was terrible, and that was part of the problem Sunday, but Sunday will forever be known as the Anthony Bemboom game. Who? What? Right, yeah, in a game where Pujols, Trout, and Otani did nothing. The Red Sox were undone by a 29-year-old journeyman just called up from AAA the night before, as nondescript as a script could allow for a hero. And let's give the guy a ridiculous name, too, just so no one will ever believe this stuff. Let's go around the room. Fellas, what do you got? Tarwilius Crombean? Is that what I just heard? Maybe. We'll put a pin in that. We'll workshop it, see what happens. Anybody else? Justin Big Nipples? Nah, a little too edgy. What else? Anybody? Sarcophagus Estabrook? Okay, that's not bad. Anyone else? You there in the back. Your hand is up. What do you got? Anthony Bemboom? Oh, that's perfect. Anthony Bemboom. We'll call this backup career minor league player that no one's ever heard of, Anthony Bemboom, and we'll let him be the guy that puts an arrow in the back of the Red Sox season at Fenway on a perfect Sunday afternoon to make the homestand officially a dud. Anthony Bemboom came into this game late. He threw out Mookie Betts by a mile trying to steal second base in an ugly 8th inning. Then in the 10th inning, Anthony Bemboom's 6th ever major league at bat, in his first in a year, 2 out, 10th inning base hit to win it. Oh, and then he gets to catch the bottom of the 10th when Hansel Robles strikes out 2 batters and pops up Mookie to end it. This game was also the Red Sox debut of Chris Owings, another journeyman who sadly did not make a Bemboonian difference for Boston. At one point, poor Chris Owings saw 8 straight strikes in his first 2 at-bats, if you include foul balls. He ends up 0-for-5. The game when he hit went whizzing by him in that disappointing 10th inning. Owings, it's an interesting call here. I mean, he had a horrific time of it in the big leagues earlier this year with Kansas City. DFA'd with a batting average of 183. He had the 314th best OPS of the 314 qualifying major league players at that point. But he was scooped up by the Sox for middle infield depth, and he responded at Pawtucket, actually homered in 6 straight games down there at one point. But anyway, the Red Sox now 0-1 in the Chris Owings era. They're 3-11 in their last 14 games, starting a sad march towards what looks like oblivion, unless they can get things right in Cleveland. The Fightin' Franconas are next on the docket. And before we scout that series, here's just the 30-second recap of what else in that 5-4, 10-inning, 4-hour loss on Sunday. Cashner walked 5, and he got 5 outs. He also allowed 3 hits. The bullpen sucked it up and was mostly great, except Matt Barnes allowing a game-tying home run to Cole Calhoun. Calhoun would eventually score the winning run off Ryan Weber on the Anthony Bemboom base hit, which wasted a two-run moonshot home run from Vasquez and two-hit Dave's from Devers and Benintendi. It wasted J.D. Martinez, pushing his hit streak to 10 games. And that's all I got to say about that. Andrew Cashner, since you now have an ERA north of 8 as a Red Sox, what do you have to say?
Yeah, it was tough. Didn't really command my fastball. Five walks is never good, and didn't give us really a chance to win. But amazing job by the bullpen today. I mean, Josh Taylor did a really nice job picking us up.
You've been throwing hard. Velocity is good too. Are you healthy?
Yeah, I mean, I never give any excuse for not being good. I just am not executing. Kind of cutting my fastball right now, but had a good bullpen this past week, and didn't translate today. I think my stuff's really good. I'm just not getting ahead and not making pitches when I need to.
You feel like it's fixable, or is it just something you've been fighting?
Well, you don't think it's fixable?
No, I'm just asking you.
I think it's fixable.
Well, what they should put it better.
Yeah, no, you're good. I just, I've been doing this a long time. I think, when you get ahead of guys, you get bad swings. When you don't, they're comfortable in the box. I just, need to be more aggressive down in the zone earlier in the count.
As well as you've been pitching, you were excited about coming in here, yeah, and being able to pitch in these kinds of games. How frustrating is this?
Yeah, it's been frustrating since the Yankees game. But I mean, it's still a lot of season left. I think I might maybe have 8 starts left. So just put this behind me, and just keep working forward, keep working with Dana, and get back on track, and give us a chance to get where we want to go.
Well, records going back to 1908. That was just the 16th Red Sox starter to last fewer than 2 innings, walk as many as 5 batters. The last to do it, the immortal Daniel Bard, the last start of his career. The start that Cashner just turned in. I mean, it's really the kind of start he was acquired to prevent. We said at least this guy will give you 7 innings, or at the very least 6. But no, he got 5 outs on 51 pitches, allowed 9 base runners, and taxing the bullpen, of course, headed off to what is now the biggest series of the year to date in Cleveland. In Major League history, we're told that was just the 133rd start ever where the pitcher went an inning and 2/3 or less, allowed 3 or more runs and at least 9 base runners. Those teams have gone on to win 16 of those 133 games. And the Sox really should have been a winner in the game Sunday. They were up 4-3. They had chances to add on, but they never did. And it cost them in the end. So Cashner in his 6 Red Sox starts, now a whip of close to 2, ERA of 8.01. Alex Cora, after the Sunday nonsense.
No command. He saw the walks. He gets the whole play with Albert in the first inning. We thought, okay, he's going to get into rhythm, and that wasn't the case. So, he went to slider a lot today, but he wasn't there. Just wanted to, he didn't command the strike zone, so we ran into trouble.
You closed it a couple of times tonight before the, obviously you're thinking about ways of deploying the rotation, but at this point, is it?
We'll address it tomorrow and see where we go. Obviously, we're not in a good spot, so we'll sit down tomorrow and we'll see how we're going to map it out.
Okay. Right. I'm not sure if you're
Alex. About where are we going with the rotation, or what are we doing, pitching plans, So we'll sit down tomorrow and see where.
Might reevaluate before Cashner starts again?
As a group, we'll talk about the group. We talk about the off days and all that stuff. So we'll sit down tomorrow, the whole staff, and see where it takes us.
And on a day like today, with Mookie having the day off, do you have any regrets about giving him the day?
No.
Did you, by the 6, were there any thoughts about pinch hitting Rollins?
Where?
Like by the 6, everything was loaded?
No.
After Cashner came out, Taylor and Walden came in and gave you what did you see from both of them?
I mean, JT probably had his best fastball today and the best combination of pitches, fastball slider. And at that point, we had to patch it. We we felt we were going to win the game. You know, the way he threw the ball gave us a chance. Christian with the big swing, and we kept going. Calhoun puts a good swing in the eighth, and then after that, you know, we were limited. So, you know, they did an outstanding job throughout. Morrissey just went fastball that was down and in, and he put a good swing on it. But all around, you know, Nate and Waldy and everybody threw the ball well. Even, you know, Webby at the end, just a changeup. You know, he hits out in front, and it's a base hit. So, but it was a tough one. I mean, we were in a tough situation, you know, the last 3 days as far as, like, relievers and length and all that stuff. So,
was Jeffers on his own trying to take
the we made some decisions today that we don't usually make. I do feel that, you know, as a group, we, I don't want to say we pressure, but we kind of like did some stuff that we usually didn't do, and probably trying to make stuff happen, and you know, just made us pay.
So that was you?
No. As a group, I think we did a few things that, you know, we don't usually do.
So he did that on his own.
As a group, we did stuff that, you know. There, the guys that were coming behind, Christian and Brock. It was a good spot right there. Mitch got on base, and, you know, we didn't make contact on a 3-1 count, so that's why I went with him there.
Is there any chance to make a move to get some length
further? We're actually talking about it right now.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, we were talking about it.
With it all, you just won today. Was that, what went into that, what it
was? Well, we stretched him the other day, so we got to be careful with him. So, with him and with Walden too. You know, they've been pinching a lot the last few days, so you got to be careful.
And with Barnes, he had a long way out before this one. He hasn't pitched much this month. What have you been hoping he would get out of that rest?
I mean, he did a good job in the first inning, and he just threw a fastball down and in to Calhoun and put a good swing. You know, I think there were two counts there. He got a 0-2. One guy got a base hit, and then Upton walked. But besides that, his stuff was pretty good.
Yeah. That was just a putt on, you know, getting the two wins and then, you know, dropping the last two. You guys can't seem to get out of your own way sometimes.
I mean, it's something we've been doing the whole season. We've been talking about it, being inconsistent. And that way, it's tough to make it to the playoffs.
Anything else about Kurt Owings? I mean, obviously he's had a crazy day, but how much do you guys feel like he might need to help him to get back into what he was doing in AAA?
I mean, it's one game. So, I mean, it just one game that happens at the big league level.
Along the lines of some of the inconsistencies, mentally, is it kind of a challenge that starts to feel like you can't go that
hard? I don't know. It's we've been talking about it the whole time, and we have talent and all that. It's just you have to put it on the field. And like I said, today felt like we did a few things trying to make it happen. And sometimes when you do that, it doesn't happen most of the time. You know, you got to let the game come to you. And you know, it's something that we've done an outstanding job regardless of the situations we're in. You know, we've been staying with the process and doing the things that we usually do. But today I actually felt that way, that we did a few things as a group that we don't do.
All right, that is the manager. So disappointing. You get the five outs from Cashner and that's it. It's now 22 blown saves for Boston after Sunday, seventh by Barnes. Not a sustainable model, and it's a shame because the bullpen in the first eight innings it worked, allowed just one run, but Bem Boom with the winner in the 10th. And now it's on to Cleveland. Erod, 13-5, 4.17 Monday night, and Zach Plesac, who had his major league debut, you might remember, against the Red Sox at Fenway back in June, he's 6-3 with a 3.13 going for Clee. It'll be Chris Sale on Tuesday. He's coming off a great one, of course. Mike Clevenger goes for the Tribe, 7-2, 3.02 before the Wednesday finale. And the return home to hopefully beat up on the Orioles. Right now, the Red Sox record is 62-58. Last year through 120 games, 85-35. So, yeah, they're 23 games off the pace. If they were 16 games off the pace, they'd be tied for a playoff spot right now. But instead, they're in this position where they'd better win three games in Cleveland starting Monday night. And at least there will be no Anthony Bem Boom waiting for them at whatever they're calling Jacobs Field now. Progressive. Yes, progressive. I pine for the days where it was Jacobs Field. The Jake. Remember the Jake? That's British slang for toilet. And that's probably a good place to end the podcast here. As the Sox lose two straight to the Angels, and they are now just four games over 500. This is Josh Lewin. Take her easy. Better times ahead. This is Sox Daily. Bye-bye.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.